Let's turn in our Bibles to John 18, 28 to 40 for our scripture reading this morning. It's John 18, 28 to 40. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the place of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" If he were not a criminal, they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is this your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it to you? What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another world, another place." "You are the king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for the reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover? Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion.
We're turning this morning to yet another place where Jesus said the reason that he came into the world. Different occasions will bring to his mind things that were a vital part of the reason he came. And in this case, there's the challenge of being king. And he can say, "Yes, I am the king, and I came to bear witness to this truth." And that's what we want to look at this morning, that he came to bear witness to the truth of being king. Pilate obviously does not feel convinced by Jesus' claim, and yet he is quite challenged by the statement. Pilate can't really let it go. He again and again brings up, "You are a king then." He's willing to mock the idea of his being a king, and yet he's concerned about the king. When he goes to the people, he says, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" And then later in the same passage, another place where he comes and says, "Will you crucify your king?" And they have to say, "We have no king but Caesar." And he's in the position where he needs to pass the judgment. He has no concern particularly to pass a judgment upon an imbecile, because of course he doesn't believe what Jesus said. But he holds fast to that idea, "This is your king." And when the command to put the charge of the man upon the cross, when he commands what's to be written, it is, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Though the Jews did not appreciate that and wanted him to change it, and wanted him to say, "He said he was King of the Jews," he says, "What I've written, I was written. What I have written, I've written. And he made it known, "This is the King of the Jews." Well, Pilate didn't believe that. Pilate is challenged by that. He does not believe that. And ultimately, he allows the man to be killed in the most dreadful and terrible way. Well, we want to look at this in this way this morning. First of all, we want to look at Pilate's idea of a king. Obviously, Pilate cannot accept him as king. Obviously, it's ridiculous to think of him as king. And we want to look at Pilate's idea of a king. And then secondly, that Jesus is king, and we want to look at ourselves as his subjects. So rather a simple dealing with it, first of all looking at what Pilate understood to be king, which obviously brought him to reject with scorn the idea. But we want to look at Jesus as our king, and then we want to think of ourselves as his subject. The text that focuses what we're looking at is in verse 37. So look at that again with me, and we will ask the Lord to help us. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Let's pray. Lord, we have sung many hymns already this morning, exulting in you as our King. And we bow before you as our King. And we recognize that as our King, you took the terrible abuse of the cross. We worship you, King Jesus. We ask you to help us as we consider Pilate's view of King and the tremendous contrast between such a king and our king. Help us, Lord, to see something more of you. Would you manifest yourself to us in a special way? May we appreciate you, King Jesus. May we love you in a new way as a result of our looking at this passage. Thank you for the clear declaration that you are the king, and for this reason you came into the world to testify to the truth. Lord, we have heard the truth. We have believed. We have bowed before you. Help us now as we think about these things, granting us your Holy Spirit according to your promise to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. We thank you for him today and pray for him in Jesus' name. Amen. We look first at Pilate's idea of a king, and Pilate knew what a king was. Pilate always has a kind of cynicism in the way that he deals with people. He dealt with the Jews in general, in a cynical sort of way, rather bothered by the need of having to care with these people at all. But the king had appointed him. Pilate himself was not a king, but he knew what kings were. He had been appointed by the king, ultimately, to carry on the oversight of this dreadful place among people that he despised. But in response to the authority of his king, he's willing to take the job and to serve in that way. But he knew what a king was. A king was someone who took over people's government by force. A king was one who kept them in submission with an iron hand. A king was one who hated the people that he ruled, but that didn't matter as long as they were paying their taxes. He was one who was himself on shaky ground and would sooner or later be brought down. That's what a king is. He's the one that's taken control, holds people in subjection against their will. It doesn't make any difference that they hate him. They at least give him the money that he wants. He has the power that he wants, and he's on shaky ground himself. He's always manipulating to stay in his position. That's what a king is. And of course, if you see the history of Rome as a overall pattern, 1,000 years of peace that Rome established upon the earth. It's impressive, the kingdom of Rome and what it did. But there was one king after another who's toppled by someone, and that person is then toppled by somebody else, and that person's toppled by somebody else. And it's been said that the most dangerous position to hold in all the Roman Empire was the position of emperor, because you never knew how long you're going to be there, how well you could keep there. Well, that's the king. From Pilate's point of view, that's what kings are. Kings do that. Pilate doesn't desire to be a king. In no way does he think he'll arrive to such a position, but he's willing to play along with the game and advance as well as he can within a system that is corrupt from head to toe, and the one at the head is probably the worst. Well, that's what he thinks of a king. A king that has dominated people against their will, a king that is only concerned to get what he can from them, a king that is willing to use people as pawns to promote his own power, a king that manipulates in the realm of government, a king that is always concerned to be seen to be the glorious person that he thinks himself to be, always concerned about image, That's what a king is. And here Jesus comes before him. Jesus, despised, rejected, by his own people, cast out, spat upon, beaten. He's a king. Pilate, of course, doesn't believe it, but he's haunted by the thought. And he brings it up again and again as he deals with the people. And he appeals with them with an amazement, "Will you crucify your king?" And then finally, in a tremendous cynicism, he can say, "This is the King of the Jews. What I have written, I have written. Here is Jesus, King of the Jews." Well, there's Pilate's view of a king. And so when he comes in face to face with this king, he obviously does not accept him as king. But he's haunted by it. He's affected by it. And he puts on the dignity that he can. He publicly, recorded in another place, washes his hands publicly, declaring that he's not responsible. And he lets them crucify their king. Well, Pilate is responsible. He did not wash his hands of responsibility. He had the responsibility, and he refused to defend an innocent person that he knew was innocent. I find no fault in the man. So Pilate is judged, and it's appropriate that his name is mentioned as often as the Apostles' Creed is declared, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Okay, it's appropriate that he should be remembered for the villainy of the failure to do what Jesus deserved in such a case. And yet we see in it, all of it, God's purpose in allowing our King to go through this. And we can sing that we praise Jesus on the cross, our King, worshiping him as the King who endured this for us and coming willingly to bow at his feet and say, "Jesus, you are my King, and I bow to you." Well, that was not what Pilate felt, although he was perplexed, although he didn't know how to shake exactly this amazing claim that Jesus was King. "You are a King then." And Jesus can say, "My kingdom's not of this world." Well, that was Pilate's view of kings, and you can see with such a perspective that he wouldn't acknowledge him as king, but you can see why he was challenged by the reality that this king was suffering this. And you and I see something more of the situation than he could see. Well, having seen what Pilate thought of a king, let's think for a moment what we think of Jesus, our King. Jesus is a King who has subjects that he's won to himself. He's brought his people to himself through love. How different from an earthly king. How different from one who manipulates and tests the wind of politics and figures out what the best way to maneuver is to get into a place of authority. Jesus did not do that. Your king didn't do that. What he did was win you to himself personally, work in your life individually to give you a sense of the wonder of who he was and to cause you to bow before his feet and worship and bless him and acknowledge him as king and submit yourself willingly to him. What a difference in the king that we have. Not simply that he was humble, not simply that he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, not simply that these outward shows of humility were there. Look at what he did. Look at how he brought you to himself. Look at how he brought you to bow before him. Do you not bow to him as king? Do you not acknowledge him as king? Are you not willing to embrace him as king? Do you not worship him as king? And yet, how did he bring you to such a place? By crushing you, by forcing you politically into a situation where you could do nothing else? Has he brought you into begrudging service, willing to pay your taxes and acknowledge him verbally, though in your heart you curse him? You acknowledge him willingly. You grieve over yourself when you aren't as bold as you should be in acknowledging him, because you love and appreciate him as king and want to say from the heart, "I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender." What a difference in a king that Jesus should have brought us to such a place. Wins his subject to himself with overtures of love. Not like Pilate's view of king at all. Jesus is a king who cares about his own. Jesus, ruling over all things after the counsel of his will, yet deeply concerned for your concerns, touched by the feeling of your infirmity, knowing the needs that you struggle with and heart running out to want to help you. What a king. People that are elected to office like to pretend to be very concerned for the people. But how hard it is to take it seriously. Concerned for the people, while they live in their luxury and do their things that promote their good, and yet wanting to be seen as some kind of a helper of the people. And look at the contrast with Jesus, who deserves the honor and the glory and the power that we acknowledge him to have, and yet cares about us, comes near to us, is concerned for us personally, cares about our own situation, does understand the details of the things we face, and does desire to guide and direct us to a path of blessing. What an amazing difference between our king and the king that was in Pilate's mind as he asked Jesus, "Are you then a king?" Jesus is a king whose heart goes out to those in need. Not who looks with disdain upon the poor and the needy. Not who goes by them and sort of tries to pretend that he didn't see. But one who does see and reach out to the ones that are in need. The lowest of people are a concern for him personally. Pilate's king would have been those that are very concerned to butter up the rich people and get all he can from them and manipulate to authority with those that are the best people would support him. He has people under him that are constantly augmenting and strengthening his position and seeking to manipulate in such a way to stay in that place. And Jesus says he's a king? Well, he is a king, but without all those things, without all the trappings of kings, without all the manipulations of kings, without all the working together to get the best people on his side and manage to exert power in such a way to stay in a place. No, Jesus isn't that kind of king. No surprise that Pilate did not think him king. Pilate's concept of a king is not what Jesus is. He is our king. He has brought us not simply to bow before him, but to love him and want to serve him. He's made us desire to do that which is his will. That are not cynical about his will. Don't find his commandments to be grievous, but rather find his commandments to be exactly what we want to do. And our struggle is rather that we don't fully do what our hearts desire to do, since Jesus brought us to himself. What an amazing king it is. A king who loves his subjects, who works everything in their lives for their good. Jesus is a king who lays down his life for his own. Rather than have his people perish, he was willing to take the perishing upon himself, willing to bear the awful wrath and curse of men and the wrath and curse of God so that his people would not perish. What a different king from the king that was in Pilate's mind. Pilate can look at him and say, "You're a king then," and be amazed and even haunted by it, and then submit to it, and then allow what was going to be, and cut himself out of responsibility and let Jesus bear the wrath and the curse that he bore, but haunted and amazed by the reality that Jesus said, I am king, and I've come for the purpose of bearing witness to this truth. Jesus bore witness to the truth of his being king to you and humbled your heart and brought you to embrace him. What a wonderful thing it was. Jesus is a king who lays down his own life that they might be forgiven, that his people might be forgiven of their sins. And Jesus is a king who rules over them in gentleness and love, and who guides each one by his own hand. And doesn't your king do that for you? Ruling over you in gentleness and love, and guiding you by his own hand. Little wonder that Pilate couldn't understand how Jesus was king. He saw kings in such a different way from the true king. But Jesus was truly king, and Jesus came to rule over his people. And we can look at the fact that he has done so in our lives. We can look at the fact that he's brought us to himself. He's brought us to bow to him. He's brought us to worship him. He's brought us to desire to hear his will for our lives and to want to do his will. And he's done that by the wonderful giving of himself, which he did his entire life as he lived a life of sorrow and grief, bearing the difficulties and the struggles of living a life in the midst of a sinful people, and bearing with them and accepting them and loving them and calling them to himself. and sending his Spirit to open their eyes to see the glory of his own person and to bring us willingly to bow at his feet. He is no ordinary king. Never has Pilate seen such a king, and never has he so much as thought there could be such a one. There is such a king. People in the world imagine that Jesus is there to somehow inhibit their lives, somehow hold them back. People that consider the idea of Jesus being in control of their life considers it something they don't want. And yet you see what it is for Jesus to control your life. You see what it is for him to have the rule. You see what it is to bow before him, what an honor it is to have him as your Lord and your Savior. What a joy it will be when all intelligent life declares the reality that Jesus Christ is King. And you long to see every knee bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There's something in you that delights in that. And that's the kind of kingdom that God has brought about on his earth. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of Jesus. He came to bring us to bow to him as King. It is a privilege, dear ones, to know him. It's a privilege to be bowing before him. It's a privilege to be ruled by him. It's a privilege to be loved by him. It's a privilege to be defended by him. It's a privilege for him to direct every aspect of our life and bring us ultimately to that place where we can reflect the image of the one we love, our great King. Well, it's a wonderful thing. Little wonder that Pilate, cynical about the world anyway, and seeing the manipulation of kings in his own day, little wonder that he was puzzled by Jesus calling himself king. Puzzled by people wanting to crucify their king. Trying to back out of the situation by washing his hands publicly and declaring he wasn't responsible, though he was responsible. Amazing to see Pilate's view of Jesus and who he really was. And dear ones, this is the truth of Jesus. He is this. He came to bear witness to the truth. He is king, and he shows his kingship in everything he does. He shows his rule over creation. He shows his rule over the affairs of men. He shows his control over all that comes to pass. He shows his love for the outcast. He shows his love for the lowest of his group. He shows a love that encompasses every range and level of people and knows them and loves them and serves them as their king. What a blessing it is to be served by King Jesus. And he so much wanted us to know that it was so for him that he even washed his disciples' feet to picture what the king does for his people, to picture the humbling of himself to care for us. Will you willingly acknowledge Jesus Christ as king? There are people that think that somehow is going to lose something in your life, but it's something that's given you everything in life. Jesus is king. Wonderful picture. Jesus is that for us now. It's wonderful to think how he brought us to that point, what he did to open our eyes to see, how he worked personally to make us feel our need of him. How did he manipulate our lives in such a way that we came in contact with the influences that humbled our heart and made us reach out to Jesus? Each one of us could personally retrace the story of how we came to bow our knee to King Jesus and to say from the heart, I surrender all. But Jesus did that for us. He brought us to such a point, not by crushing and destroying us, but by freeing us and bringing us to himself. This is the Jesus that is our King, the one that so amazed and mystified Pilate, the one so different from earthly kings. This is our King, and he's all these things for us. And what's our response then? We who have embraced this Jesus, we love him. Every king expects his subjects to declare how delighted they are in him. And if there's a king passing by, you have to smile and wave and be delighted to have the chance of seeing this one who's passing by. Of course, once he's gone by, you may make some cynical remark to one of the other people standing in the crowd. This is not what you do. This isn't how you view your king. You don't go through the motions of honoring him and do what you're supposed to in the religious realm and then make some smart remark to somebody about it. Does not happen. Does it happen to any people who are part of churches? Yes, some do, who've never seen Christ as King, go through the motions and then can be cynical about it and laugh about it, but you can't do it if you have him as king. You love your king. He's brought you to not simply bow the knee and honor him, but to love him and want to honor him. There's the great wonder of what he's done. And we gather on the Lord's Day morning to honor our king. There's a hymn that I thought to, since I chose the hymns, I thought to sing, and I'm not sure if we'll try it at the end, but there's a wonderful hymn that says, we love to sing around our king and hail him, blessed Jesus. Well, we feel that. That's our desire. There's a desire to serve him. Usually you see what the government requires of you and you do it. We really do that with our own government. We rarely move to obey our government because we want to, so much as because we have to. We find out what's required and we do what's required. And it's the reason we pay our taxes, it's the reason we do what we do. We do what's required because it's required. But that is not what you feel for Jesus. You do what you think will please him because you want to please him. What an amazing thing. Have you come to that with Jesus? Have you come to the point where you desire to please him because you think it will please him? Do you love him? And has God done that for you? What a wonderful thing to want to serve King Jesus. We feel honored to have him as king. I don't feel honored in the same way with political leaders who rule over me. Do you feel honored with the political leaders that it's an honor to be a citizen of the country which they rule? Now, we do have flashes of people in our history that we were prouder of some presidents than others, but generally speaking, our response is not to be honored that we have the privilege of serving the particular president. We're watching him and we're seeing, what do I need to do because of him? How different from our feeling with Christ. Honored to be a Christian, honored to be a part of his kingdom, honored to be accepted by him, and honored to serve him, and wanting to serve him better because we love him. What an amazing king he is. We want to know his will so that we can do it. Desiring, what is your will for my life, Lord? Let me see, open to my eyes what I should do. Help me to do it for your glory. It's a desire that we have because God has won us to his heart, has overcome us, has subdued us to himself, and he's done so in such a wonderful way that we delight, want to know his will, that we may do it. We genuinely delight in any glimpse we get of him. Now, actually, if you're in a country that has a queen, I lived for a few years in England, there was a kind of a sense of it's neat when she goes by and you see her, because that's how everybody feels, it's neat to see her. But as a Christian, the little glimpse you get of Christ, you're not just delighted that you got the chance. Delighted to see him. See some evidence of his working in your life, some evidence of his undertaking with somebody you love, and there's that within your heart that rejoices, that the king has drawn near. The king has ministered to your heart and ministered to the hearts of those you love. There's a wonder about it. You genuinely delight with any glimpse you have of him. Isn't that amazing, this kind of king? Genuinely delight with any glimpse you get of him. Well, that's the king that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess every day our greater need of him. Is that really the way we act with political people, or do we hope they'll get off our back? Do we want to get to a point where we won't have to bother with them? Do we willingly but not very happily do whatever we have to do? Not so with Christ. Not so with the king. The king we desire to serve, willing to confess every day our greater need of him and wanting to draw near. We long to be like him. Now, if you have a king and he's got certain characteristics, generally the people are given printed out pictures or symbols of some kind to sort of all dress up and show that some identification with this king, and you're glad to do it because politically that's a good thing to do right now. Do you feel that with Christ, that you have to receive some sort of stamp, something or other, some name tag that will identify you? No, you want the identification to be something deeper than that. You want it to be the very likeness of Christ brought forth in your life by his Holy Spirit. That's what your heart desires. It's to serve a Christ from the heart, delighting to be like him and wanting more and more to be like him. Wanting more than anything to see him face to face. And these are not things that have been forced upon you. And there's not things that you do because you're told you ought to. There are things you do because that's what God's done in you, in bringing you to himself. The scripture declares that God brings his people to himself, but he does so by the cords of love. He draws him to himself at the cords, by the cords of love. Pilate never knew a king like this. And though Rome had a very long tenure from human standards, it finally fell. This kingdom that Jesus brought will have no end. We rejoice that we're part of a kingdom that will be forever and ever. God has worked this in our hearts. It's the truth that has made us free. We love him because he first loved us. His service is perfect freedom. We stand back and watch our Lord take upon himself the sin of the world and suffer on the cross the worst that men and devils could do and the worst that God himself could do. Jesus, our King, loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus, our King, reigns in our hearts. His kingdom is not of this world, and neither is ours. We look for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We long to see our Savior and rejoice in his presence for all eternity. Pilate knew no king or kingdom like this, but we glory in his holy name. We say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Glory to God in the highest. Is that what you feel? I'm characterizing what I think to be the feeling, the attitude of the one who's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the outward things that they do. We all can sing the hymns and speak of Jesus, but is that an expression of your heart? Is that what you understand Christianity to be? Because that's what Christianity is. It's that kind of devotion to a real Savior who has opened your eyes to see and has changed your heart, and you long to serve him. Is that the case with you? Or is there something else about your being a Christian, something else about being connected with the church, something else about the ritual and the enjoyment of being a part of the group? Is there something else that is somehow more important than a real relationship with Jesus? This is what a relationship with Jesus is. It's the heart given over to Christ, and Christ manifesting his rule in your heart, the heart that willingly accepts him and delights to be in his presence. Is that the case for you? There are those that are not committed, who somehow don't really go for the whole thing. Can hear about it, sounds nice, interesting story. Haven't got that heart. And that's what I want to speak to before closing today. Jesus stood for the truth that he is King. What we challenge a person with is the fact that this is the truth. Jesus stood for the truth that he was King. It's truth. Have you seen it? Have you embraced it? Have you accepted it as your own? Do you desire Jesus to be your King? Do you want him to be your King? Do you love him? Is there something in your heart that desires to serve King Jesus? Well, that's the thing that God came to present. And Jesus came to present that. He came to win you to himself. Jesus is working to win you to himself. He's helping you to see how the road you're on is the wrong road. The circumstances you're seeking are not the wrong ones. He's helping you to see that the way in which you can know the reality that you were born to experience is to come and bow the knee to Jesus. And it's not something you're forced to do, it's something you want to do. Have you seen that? Is that a reality for you? I can speak about it, but I don't want it to be theoretical. I'd like it to be the expression of the heart of everyone here, because it is the truth. Jesus came to bear witness to this truth. This, he is the King, and this is the kind of King that he is. May the Lord help each one of us to rejoice that we have this King as our King. If you've held back from publicly acknowledging Jesus as Lord and Savior, do so today. Step from darkness to light. Recognize the emptiness of going through the outward motions and the beauty of knowing him, and believe on the Lord Jesus. What he'll do is humble you with regard to your sin. He will make you to feel your own sin to be wrong and your need of forgiveness. Have you come ever to see that? Your personal need of forgiveness. You were wrong and you needed Christ. Have you seen that? Bow your knee to Jesus today, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, whose kingdom shall have no end. Every time we gather, we come to worship and bless our King, and the message goes forth to call those who may not have come to Christ in that way to come. And I would call you today to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What matters is you and your relationship to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter that people mock. It doesn't matter, ultimately, that they perish in unbelief. What matters is you and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bow the knee to him today? Will you turn from your sin, forsaking all, call upon him for mercy and grace? I urge you to do so for his name's sake. But it's because it's the truth. That's who Jesus is. And Jesus came with a purpose of bearing witness to that truth. All that he did bore witness to that truth. His relationship with other people bore witness to that truth. His relationship with the government bore witness to that truth. His relationship to the religious world bore witness to this truth, bearing witness to the truth that he is king. And not only that he is king, but the kind of king he is. His life declared that. And that's what brought you and me to bow the knee to him. Has it brought all of us to bow the knee to him? Well, that's his purpose in coming, and that's what he calls you to today. May the Lord Jesus move us to do that. I'd like you to look to the hymn that has come to mind with regard to Jesus, and it's hymn number 178. Would you open in your hymn book to 178? There is no name so sweet on earth. Look at the words of the hymn. There is no name so sweet on earth, no name so sweet in heaven, the name before his wondrous birth to Christ the Savior given. We love to sing around our King and hail him, blessed Jesus, for there's no word ear ever heard so dear, so sweet as Jesus. Has God, by his mercy, brought you to see that? Well, then we gather as people of God on Sunday mornings to sing around our King and to hail him, blessed Jesus. And may the Lord help us from the heart to be such believers that believe on Jesus in this way, are amazed at the wonder of Jesus' claim to be King, but not haunted by it, embracing it, and loving and praising him from the heart. May God make that the case for all of us. May he minister to our hearts to see that, and may we deepen every day with an appreciation for our King and a desire to honor and praise him with our lives. Jesus said in the passage we looked at today, look back to verse 37, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." May everyone here listen to him and bow before him. Let's pray. Dear God, we do come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to consider Jesus as our King. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that you worked in our lives to bring us to bow to you. We were so determined to go our own way, so much involved in pursuing our own goals, so only interested in you in a very peripheral way, giving lip service but never really loving, until you were pleased to open our eyes to see, until you were pleased to soften our hearts to believe, and make us willing in the day of your power. We give you praise and honor for doing that, Lord. There are many gathered in this room for whom you've done that, and we give you praise. Lord, are there any in our midst today that have something less than that in their relationship with you, who've never come to see that truly? Are there those for whom these are just words? Would you be pleased to work in their hearts? Would you be pleased to draw them with the cords of love to bow before you and to embrace you as their Savior and their Lord? Help, Lord, we pray. Work in our midst, we pray. And the little ones, would you bring them to love and serve the Lord Jesus? May they desire that they might know Jesus and live for him. Would you work in them right now, Lord, drawing the little ones to yourself, drawing the older ones, drawing teenagers that have not yet taken a stand for you, drawing them to see who you are and to bow before you. Lord, there may be older ones who have gone through the motions of religion for many years, but have never come in this way to Jesus. We pray, Lord, you'll work in our midst. May even today be a day of salvation in this place, because Christ has been lifted up, because we've seen what kind of king he is, and we've wanted him to be ours. Help us, Lord, we pray. Grant us your Holy Spirit. Continue with us and help us to bless your great name. We love you, we praise you, and we long for you to continue to rule over us, Lord, in a way that will enrich our life with joy. Help us, we pray, and bless us this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing together number 178. 178. Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and grant us peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.